Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
I am stoked about it because it is Vision Weekend, and we're going to talk mostly this weekend about you. You love you, even if you think you get aggravated at yourself. At the end of the day, you're the first person you look for when you're looking at a group picture. Come on, raise your hand if you'll be honest with me, right? And so I really want to drill into what God has for you. We know that God spoke to us that the next 4 years would be banner years, and it's been unbelievable. And he said the year of 2020, we would see with 2020 vision, the dreams, the hopes, the prayers become clear. 2020, we could see them with our physical eyes. In other words, if you couldn't get a loan on a house, get ready. God's getting ready to show you that he will get the credit because you're going to get the credit. If you couldn't have a child, get ready to stay up all night and nurse it. If you couldn't find a man, get ready to select from three of your best options right now because 2020 is your year. Everybody shout, it's my year. Now, the slide, I thought I wanted to put it up there just real quick, the banner year slide. This, we've been shouting this at all campuses. It's our banner year spiritually, financially, physically, and you know, emotionally. And you know the drill. At all campuses, you were given a pamphlet. And actually, I want us to actually get it out for just 1 second and look at that because I know you're going to want to look at it. We're going to refer back to it several times throughout this weekend. But the main thing I wanted to show you is it just kind of goes through so many cool things. But let's just go ahead and read that slide together. Let's all shout, this is my banner year, spiritually, financially, physically, emotionally. Over the next final banner year, God is going to bless me beyond my wildest dreams. Everything I've put my hand to is blessed. Success is multiplying in every area of my life. With 2020 clarity, I will see the fullness of my dreams come to pass in this banner year of 2020. And it starts right now. Come on, give the Lord praise for that. So you're going to want to take this home and put it in your car or wherever you're at all the time. But I actually want to start with the fact that Tuesday night, if you missed Tuesday night, we started in Florida at our Royal Palm campus. If you're at church today in West Palm, you're at the high school, but we have Tuesday night services there, and we streamed it to here. And I just had this idea to actually bring building blocks up on the stage and for people to write their prayer requests. So the people who came Tuesday night, they were coming and they were writing things on these, you know, all their different prayer requests. You can see them here. At all campuses, you have these. And we just began to stack them up, and people came after church and they just continued to say, these are the building blocks, the foundation for my future. Now, I got to ask you, what are you believing for? And you might not really have a clear directive. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I could ever get out of debt. I don't know if I could ever be happy again. I don't know if I'm going to beat this disease. I'm here to tell you that your mind will engage and your spirit will engage when you realize that God loves you in spite of everything that you've ever done wrong. His vision for your life is really, really big. And my goal today, come on, somebody ought to give God praise, is to help you with that. Now, this is a little unconventional. This whole weekend's going to be unconventional. Anybody old enough to remember this? Anybody remember this? Some of you don't remember. Okay. I carried this, not this one, but one just like it, to every service that my dad preached at when I was a kid. He had his attaché, you know, because that's the way they rolled back in the preacher days when he was rocking it. And so he would carry his attaché, and we would leave the motorhome, and as soon as we would leave, I would grab this because my dad, he preached for 2 hours sometimes, 3 hours. You didn't need a clock. You needed a calendar. And I would look at these little matchboxes, and I'd play with those with the little kids that I just met, because you got to remember, we were going to different cities all the time throughout America. So I'd go in a place for a week, meet new people, have to leave to, he was an evangelist, and meet new people all the time. So I had to learn how I had to really, really figure out people, read people. Who's going to like me? Who's not going to like me? What's going on? But I always had this. It was my deal. But the interesting part about this is I lost this for forever. But I used to have a couple of cars that were my favorite cars, one of which was, I know you know about my orange bike, but you've never heard about my orange motorhome. My dad drove the motorhome everywhere we would go. And I would play with this little orange motorhome in the back of, you know, the motorhome. And how many of y'all would make believe Barbies? Come on. Anybody ever ripped the head of a Barbie? Come on, women. Say. And so you play with Barbies. I was playing Matchbox cars. And my favorite one was this orange motorhome forever. This week, Florida, you'll get a kick out of this. On Friday, I was in Florida, and I was driving down the road with my daughter, and all of a sudden, there was like this resale shop, and I typically don't go in those places. I'm talking about, I know the plans I have for you. They're not for evil. They're for an expected end. And I just felt like I should go there. Well, I passed it up, went about two blocks too far, and I just got, the Holy Spirit said, you go back there. So I made a turn and turned down an alley, and Ashton was with me. She's like, what are we doing? I'm like, we're going in this resale shop. I walk in the resale shop this week while we're fasting and praying, and I saw this. I knew immediately I was going to buy it. First of all, it's 20 bucks. I didn't even try. You're going to be proud of me. I didn't even negotiate the guy down. I just knew. That's just it. It's 20. And so I opened, I picked it up, and then I thought, there's cars in there. And when I opened it up, I looked, and there's the orange motorhome. And somebody ought to shout amen right now. Inside the car. I know you're not excited, but this was unreal. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I said, Ashton, this is the motorhome that I pretended I was driving while my dad was driving the motorhome. It was always the motorhome. This was it. This is unreal. And then the guy, believe it or not, the guy said, I'll sell it to you for 15 bucks. I thought, you could have got me for $2,000. I would have paid. And then here's the crazy part about it. If you look at it, come here, Jordan. You're on staff, though. You might think I'm a liar. You, come here. Yeah, you, Jordan, you paid. You could be. I need to, Asha, come here. Tell everybody, what does that say there?
Palm Beach.
It says Palm Beach on the side of the motorhome, okay? Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. Here's what I have to say about it. When this was manufactured, thank you, by the way. I trapped you. I got all caught up in right now. How many of y'all are interested in right now? I'm in Palm Beach, actually Lauderdale, and the church is in Palm Beach, and I go, Ashton, I have this experience in this resale shop. I go, I had no clue while I was pushing this vehicle around. God had me pushing something that said Palm Beach as a child because he knew that someday he would destine Faith Church to preach in Palm Beach. Come on, West Palm. Somebody ought to shout amen right now. I'm just telling you. I just started crying. I started crying because I thought about all the stuff that happened between a little boy in this. I'm talking about watching porn as a teenager. I'm talking about messing up when I was an adult. I'm talking about got the divorce and it didn't keep me from going there. I'm talking about my mom betrayed me and it didn't keep me from going there. And my dad died and it didn't keep me from going there. And God, in all of his wisdom, all of these years, has had somebody put this Palm Beach orange motorhome inside this case for me. And I just can't help but think maybe it could even actually be the actual case. It doesn't matter to me, but what if it is? I'm here to tell you right now that this is Vision Weekend. And you're about to enter into the finest season that you've ever entered in the history of your life. I prophesy over your future that you're blessed, that you're favored, you're anointed, and every disappointment is actually a setup for a God divine appointment. And the devil's no does not compare to God's yes. And the devil's going to have to pay for what God's going to do in your life. I give you 10 seconds to praise him right now. Just praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. This is what it's going to be like this weekend. We're going to lay a foundation right now for your future. The building blocks of your future is going to take a mixer. Make sure you get a wide shot of this because I want Florida and everybody to see it. This is a mixer and you put water in it and you put concrete in it and it just mixes. Life. Trouble. Setback. Man, when am I actually going to have no trouble when you're dead? When we all get to heaven, no more enemy because the devil's not going. But right now, we're going to fight the good fight of faith. And God is wanting us to realize that even though my life was all mixed up, that in the end, it turned out. Today, when I was flying, this weekend flying back to St. Louis, 500 miles an hour over all the little towns that I used to feel rejection in because I didn't know anybody and I was a homeschooler and they would always ask the preacher's kid to come up and read. at the little Sunday school class, and I always had a panic attack because I couldn't read good, and I still can't read great, especially publicly. But all those insecurities and all those inferiority complexes actually drew me to God more, to where I was more dependent on Him than I was upon me. I was more dependent on His anointing than my education. I was dependent on His power instead of my purpose. Somebody ought to shout amen. I was more dependent on Him and His anointing to bring a breakthrough. And those were the building blocks for my life. And I want to talk to you about that today. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, it says, "You also are like living stones. You're being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Jesus Christ." Now, I think somebody's coming out here to help me in a moment, and we're going to just have the person here active when I send a command. This guy here, come on, let's move it. You got to move faster than that. You got to get up quicker. I think he's Union. He's from Missouri. He's moving real slow. But he's here, and he's only there if I commission him to do something. I'd just like you to go ahead and take some of these stones and just start, just stack one layer all the way across. This is what angels do. When you begin to commission them to do what you want to do, like, I believe, you know, I'm going to build exactly this wall. I believe that I'm going to have my loved ones come to church with me by, I don't know what it is, Christmas? Maybe it's Easter for you. And you start writing their name on the brick, and you start laying in the mortar and the foundation. The angels of God begin to work behind the scenes, and they start shipping people into Walmart, Sam's, Starbucks, and people that are not you, witness to the people that you love so much. Now, our job, we're supposed to go witness to people that we quote-unquote don't love. The Bible says that one plants, another waters. Remember, there's the cement, and then there's the water. So one plants, another waters, and then the Lord gives the increase. So we have to set it up in our mind that this is a spiritual thing that we're doing right now, that every week when we go to church, every day when we pray, we're giving God the building blocks to build the foundation for a better marriage, a better ministry, a better financial scenario, a better health report. Everything gets better when we put God in the middle of it. So one more time, 1 Peter 2, 5. It says, "You are also like living stones, and you're being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to the Lord." Now, when my dad raised me on the road, and we hardly had any money, he sacrificially gave an offering every day to a minister that really blessed him. Every day, because we were in different cities, we had these offering envelopes. And not once a month. He wasn't a monthly partner. He was a daily partner into this ministry. And so he would give to this ministry every day. And some days, while I was playing with my cars, finished my homeschool, he and I would go out and we would try to collect soda bottles to get the money, because you could cash them in for 10 cents, to get the seed to build the foundation for what God had in our life. Now, at the time when I was just playing with these little Hot Wheels in a motorhome, I never knew that someday my dad would go on to be with the Lord, and I would be in New York City at a very important meeting. And I was riding the elevators up, and the man in which my dad had given the money to every day, he had given a sacrificial offering to every day. It was building blocks for my future, and I didn't know it. I told him who it was. I said, "I'm David Crank. David Crank's son." And he just started smacking me on the side of the head. And he said, "Oh my gosh, your dad was my best partner ever. He wasn't my biggest partner, but he was my best partner." And every day, my dad was laying the bricks of the foundation. He went on to get to the moral of the story is this. He started a television network about a year before my meeting him on DirecTV and Dish. And he said, "I'm going to put you on 13 times a week. That's $1 million a year, absolutely free." Somebody ought to give God praise for that. I said, "You didn't hear me. $1 million a year he gives me in free airtime." Now, my dad is up in heaven right now, but he laid down his life, put away his own agenda, laid the bricks and the foundation and the mortar, not knowing that today, right now, in 2019, that I would be standing on the blocks that he built, and I would be predicating all of my future on what God is doing in my life. And I'm just here to tell you that God will do for you what no man can do for you. And God will do for you what no education can do for you. And somebody ought to shout amen right now. He's setting up blocks and building blocks for your life. Now, you have to be willing to lay aside your own agendas for God's agenda. If you haven't been here since Tuesday, you don't know that on Tuesday the Lord spoke to me in Royal Palm, and he said, I want you to lead the church, Faith Church. We are, you know, multi-site, multi-culture, multi-racial, multi-state. We're about as multi and as complicated as you could possibly get. So even consultants come in and it's the most complicated thing I've ever seen. They say it's a melting pot. And I say, no, it's not. It is a stew. And it's a beautiful thing. I love our church. Don't you love our church? But moving forward, I had to say, God, what do you want us to do? And he said, over the next 20 days, which is Tuesday, he said, I want you to pray with the church for 20 minutes a day. I want everybody to shout that at all campus. 20 days, 20 minutes a day. 20 days, 20 minutes a day. That was on Tuesday. So we got up at 6 a.m. and at noon on Facebook, the Faith Church Facebook. And we began to pray, and many of us began to fast. There was a couple days this last week I didn't eat anything. Then I would migrate it down to a little bit of something. And so just fasting whatever the Lord speaks to you to do, whether that's television, social media, secular music. I've been fasting that for months now, as you know. And it's drawing me closer to God. It's putting in the mortar and the foundation that I need to make the wall go a little higher. Would you go ahead and let me have another row right here? Now, what is very important is that you understand inside this wall is a rebar. Rebar is important because in life, this wall is going to shift. And for this wall to stand true all the way to the top, the foundation has to be right. So in Missouri, we have a frost line. Florida, you don't know anything about that. But we have a frost line here, and you got to go down like 30 inches and put in rebar and concrete, and then the foundation stays strong. And see, so many times we don't have a good foundation, and maybe you were not raised in church like I was, or like my dad raised me. But it's never too late to start working on your cracked foundation, because I'm here to tell you right now that God wants to do something big, and to go high, we got to go low. To go high, remember last week, pride? How low can you go? How low, how low, how low can you go? And we said, I don't know how low I can go. But we know this, that God will take us down to take us up. So when we started praying for 20 minutes a day, for 20 days, we started praying mostly not for God to bless us with a new Cadillac, not for God to give us a bigger house, but we were saying, God, create in me a clean and pure heart, a contrite spirit. God, we want to pray for lost people. We want to pray for sick people. We want to pray that people come out of wheelchairs, that blind eyes are healed and deaf ears are unstopped. God, we want a supernatural revival at all of our campuses. Come on, give God praise today. At all of our campuses. We're willing to lay aside sleeping late. We're willing to lay aside some meals. We're willing to lay aside our own, you know, convenience-based philosophy, because it was not convenient when you laid down your life and you became the chief cornerstone of all time. Our God, our Father, the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Somebody give Him praise today. You got to make sure that you're not going for convenience. Pastor Austin there in West Palm today, when he was little, he used to go to school, and he came back from school one day, and I was building a wall like this. And I began to build the wall, and I had to read books about the walls and talked about, you know, this right here, the rebar, and how it's got to connect, keeps it from shifting. And in our scenario, rebar is much like the Word of God. It's much like growth track. It's all the things that you need underneath the substructure to make this thing work all the way up. And Austin, he would watch me, and he would help me when he came home from school because I'd pay him because he lacked money. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen to that. But we had to, one day I watched, and he was stacking the stones like this. There was no rebar there, and he was putting them over one on top of another. So they weren't stacked where they support like this. I had to come in and say, Austin, you have to stack them. They're doing this perfectly, actually. And so now it actually supports. When one's weak, the other's strong. When one shifts, the other stays straight. And so he didn't know it because he was a kid. He didn't read those books. He didn't watch those YouTube videos. But I'm here to tell you that your foundation really matters. Now let's talk about that with kids for a minute. If my dad had not have built the foundation that he built, Austin would not be standing on the foundation of my father, and Austin wouldn't be standing on my foundation today, because we built things not convenient-based, but we built it all around God. We built it around the things of God. Now, his dad's a wonderful dad in Florida, unbelievably highly educated, very successful, entrepreneurial, makes a ton of dough. And then he helped send Austin to college. And then when it was time for Austin to go away to college, I thought he would go to college, and he said, I know my dad hooked me up. I know I'm supposed to go with my dad, but I feel like God told me to stay with my father. And he stayed at the ministry here with me, and it was totally the will of God, and it was the right thing to do. I know in my spirit, had he went down that other path, he would not be the person that he is today. So I have to ask you a question. I have to ask you a question watching at home. How long are you going to keep watching online because you've got to go to this function for your daughter and this function for your son? I'm here to tell you that should they rise to the top and be a great athlete, it could be the worst thing that could ever happen to them. I'm here to tell you the best thing you can do is understand that nobody knows human behavior like God Almighty, because he created all mankind. And he said, as for me and my house, somebody ought to shout amen. We need to serve the Lord. So if your kid's that talented, have them move the schedule. Have them move the practice. Go to Saturday night. But whatever you do, don't teach your kids that there's another foundation besides the real foundation, because the only foundation that lasts is God. If you go with the world, you get 50% chance of making it in marriage. 50% divorce rate. If you go with the world, you'll think that your education can change your life. And I'm all for education, but I find out that most people are very cocky as their students. I'm a college student. How many years have you been going to college? 7 years. And the first day they leave college, now they're unsuccessful, because now they're just a loser without a job. If they do not get the right foundation, saying, hang on a minute, I'm not basing my foundation on my education. God is my foundation, and he will open doors for me that no man can shut. Come on, he will shut doors that no man can open. Somebody ought to give God praise this morning. God is a master builder. Now, I must warn you that I'm a little crazy. I believe in supernatural stuff. I brought this up at the same time when I was in the flea market, or whatever that was, the resale shop. The guy said, hey, I want to throw in this license plate for you. You seem like you know, because I told him about, you know, where I live in St. Louis and, you know, Florida and whatnot. So he said, just have this. So I was unloading it in my office a while ago before I went to preach, and I got it. Come here, Avery. Avery was standing next to me, and I said, look, this thing's taped. The guy had taped whoever had this plate, because he wanted to remember where the plate, which car did this come off of. So he says, it's off of what? Is that G, Salzar? I can't really read it. But I highlighted this because as soon as I looked at it, when this was going on, it says Lincoln, which is the street I grew up on, and it says M.O., which is the state that I'm from. Now, I know some people are going to think, that's crazy that on Vision Sunday, God would confirm on Lincoln that he's doing something in Missouri, but I'm just kind of crazy. I wanted to be transparent about that. Huh? Yeah, it's okay. Deal with it. So I know some people are like, well, I don't know if I believe all that. You believe in Santa Claus too? You believe in the tooth fairy? No, but I do believe in Jesus and his power to do the craziest things. Come on, somebody. Now check this out. John 4:35 says, I tell you, open your eyes and look to the fields for harvest. There's a great harvest in Palm Beach County and in St. Louis County, and those are the two places in which I am stationed. And when I look at the harvest and I think about how that people's lives are being changed, I can't be anything but very impressed with what God is doing. So I want to drill in just for 1 minute, a few more scriptures. Ephesians 2, verse 19, it says this. It says, God is building a home. He's using all of us. Shout, use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Come on, all campuses, real loud. Use me, Lord. Irrespective of how we got here and what he is building, he used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. There's that foundation again. Now he is using you, fitting you brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. He holds all the parts together. He's starting to take shape day after day. It's looking more like him. A holy temple built for God. All of us into a holy temple. God is building in us right now, regardless of our past. And what I want to do is look over our life and kind of memorialize where we've been and for you to start planning for your glorious future. When I talk about my dad, I also must talk about a lady by the name of Carol Armstrong. Mama Carol started watching us on television here in MO in Missouri. And Mama Carol, I think they probably have a picture of her they'll put up. And there she is. And the one lady in the red there. And Pat's right next to her. In fact, Pat's here somewhere. Where's Pat? Come here. Bring Pat up. Just bring her up. I want to hug on her for a minute. So Pat's there. Let's talk about Carol. One day, I'm talking about your future. One day, her husband, Vern, was an alcoholic. And my daddy had built a church in Fenton. And this stone right here that I hold in my hand are the stones that we physically laid. This is the physical stone in 1982 at 1416 Larkin Williams Road. 1982, which I believe is 37 years ago. Help her all the way up. 37 years ago, I kept this stone. Because my dad had me as a little boy out there because he didn't believe in child labor laws. And he had me, Mama Pat, he had me putting this mortar up and teaching me how to build a church. My dad was there, and it was just a few volunteers. He built a church of 180 people, and from that church, when my daddy died, I just kept this forever because it represents my dad's life work. It represents that it's still a great church today that they'll have worship services in every weekend that my dad built. It's the cornerstone. And I told them, whatever you do, don't lose this block. Because it means the world to me. It's just a stone to you, and it's even a fake stone. But it's real. A lot of lives were changed. So when my dad went on to be with the Lord, I took that and I started going on television. And I went on in that picture one more time. I put it up of Mama Carol. I went on television, and Mama Carol was there. And if you see right next to her, this is you. That's you, right? You get younger looking all the time. Don't you think she looks better now than she did then? So, Mama Carol is cooking in the kitchen because she's older, and that's what older women did. Younger girls have figured out that she can just get Uber Eats. Can I get an amen? But Mama Carol, she was in the kitchen, and she was cooking, and her husband was in the living room, and he was drinking because he's an alcoholic. But he said, Carol, get in here. You got to see this preacher on TV. And it was me. She said, he's a preacher? He's got on jeans, and his hair is crazy? And he said, well, hell, that's what he said he is. It's quote what he said. He said, I've never wanted to go to church in my life, but I think I want to go see him. So Carol was really excited. And so she said, Vern, she came to church and she said, Vern's coming next Sunday. He's an alcoholic. He's an abuser. He's a cusser. Actually, my son's an alcoholic. Our whole family's messed up. But he's really got liver disease. He's in bad shape, but he's going to come. The next Sunday, because my dad laid this stone in this building, I had a building that they could come to. And I would point at the camera every weekend. I'm talking to Vision Sunday today. And I would say, we're not pointing the finger at you this way. We're pointing it at you this way. I'm telling you, you don't clean up to come to Jesus. If you come right now in the mess, he'll take the mess and make it a message. He'll put a ring on your finger, a robe on your back. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And so Mama Carol came. And she brought Vern. And on the first Sunday, I asked, who wants to get saved today? He ran up to the altar, and for 2 years, he never missed his service. Sunday morning, the next Sunday service, Sunday night, come on somebody, Tuesday night. And then, guess what? Then his son got saved, and he got delivered from alcoholism. And he never missed his service till he died. Sunday morning, Saturday night, come on somebody, Tuesday night. This is the foundation that we're building here and in Palm Beach County. Who's going with me on this thing? I'm here to tell you, we can change the world. And then, I don't even know for sure her story, but it's been so long now. But it seems to be that she was your neighbor, right?
Yes, yeah, she lived diagonally across from me.
And did she just invite you to church or
no,
what?
No, I was watching you on television Saturday
night. On your own, across the street.
And you just touched me so deeply. I just said to my husband, I said, I'm going to Faith Church in the morning. I said, that pastor touched me so deeply, and I have to go to
church. How many years ago was that?
11 years ago.
11 years ago. Come on, give it up. Come on, somebody, shout amen. That's why we have to be on television. That's why we need to build churches. I don't like you walking down those steps. Come here, guys. Walk her that way. There's a nice ramp.
Thank you.
I want to take care of her. Give it up one more time for the mother of the church. So let's get out that booklet. You can sit down over here if you want. Sit on the corner. I want to pretend you are a union. Just sit there for a minute. Get that booklet. Come on, all campuses, get that booklet out. And I'm going to kind of thumb through it with you. First of all, we open up the page and we got the banner of your confession. I want you to take this home and I want you to read it. Then we go to the next thing and we talk about the revival that happened at the beginning of the year. Where's Ella at? Ella, are you here? I know I saw her. Come here, run up here real quick. We had a Sunday. We had multiple Sundays where it was snowing and we couldn't have church because it was snowing. And so one Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I came to the parking lot and said, hey, I think the snow is cleared. I checked the roads. Let's have church Sunday night at Earth City. We've never done it, and we're going to have a Holy Ghost revival. Well, it broke loose and went Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night, Thursday night. And Ella was in a wheelchair, and you've probably seen the footage online. And we all knew her because she came to church all the time, and she couldn't walk. And next thing you know, during that revival, she rips the wheelchair stuff apart, gets out of the wheelchair, and starts walking on the stage. And look at her now. Look at her. Just jump up a little bit with me. Come on. Look, it worked good. Come on, somebody. Somebody ought to give God praise today. We knew her. We had so many miracles. So that's the past revival that happened at the beginning of the year. During that time, the Lord spoke to me and said, I will visit the Faith Church again in the fall in harvest season. This is your harvest season. I didn't know when it would be. But it says here on this slide, get ready for a season of restoration, abundance, and freedom. So then I began to pray, and God told me, as I told you on Tuesday, that we should pray 20 minutes a day on Facebook together, 20 minutes for 20 days. Today the Lord spoke to me because I kept saying I knew it was be part of our Jubilee inheritance. If you go to the next page, it says, and God spoke to me about the Jubilee in 2020. It wasn't like a slogan we had. It was God speaking to me. And he told me that it would be a Jubilee month starting in September. And we started getting stuff like one of our guys at our church here in St. Louis, he had a Walmart account that was supposed to close. He had his fingers crossed that it would close in 2020, January. God, please, this would change my whole life, a couple million dollars. And he called the church and said, I need to talk to Pastor David. He came here. And he said, you won't believe this. I said, try me, because who's ever heard of an unbelieving believer? He said, Walmart just called me, and they said the way they've scheduled all of their billing and all of their budgeting, would it be okay if they went ahead and paid me for 2020 in full September 1st? Banner year, Jubilee, already got the money in the checkbook. Okay? That's what that's about. So we're praying now for revival. Then today the Lord spoke to me and said, it's for sure that September we'd enter into 2020, but in November the 4th, that'll be the last day of our fast and the last day of our praying two times a day for 2020. He said, I will visit Sunset Hills and you stream it to Florida, but he said, I'm going to visit this church on that Monday and miracles, signs, and wonders will hit for many, many days, at least Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and it seems like there are more. So it's about to be on. This is an official announcement to clear all your schedule for November 4th, 5th, 6th, and I would go 7th and 8th because I'm here to tell you, come on, somebody, it's about to be on like Donkey Kong. We're leading up to that. That's what that's about. Then if you go on, it talks an incredible story. I want you to read it when you get home. We don't have time. It's an amazing story of deliverance. Another one, Haley's story, amazing story of deliverance. Then our online campus, it's reaching people around the world. I think you have a picture right now from Positano this week. I got this picture from a church member online. It's an online church member in Positano, Italy, and they actually DM'd me that, as you see on Instagram. That was their view as they were watching from, as it says right there, sitting at that beautiful spot. By the way, I've been right there. It's amazing. And around the corner is the Blue Grotto, one of the kind of the wonders of the world. It's amazing. But our church is reaching globally. Now, when my dad was building these blocks for my future and your future? First of all, has this church changed your life? Come on, all campuses, raise your hand. Raise your hand real high if it's changed your life. If my dad hadn't laid this block, you wouldn't have had a church to go to. These are some very cherishable items right here, right now. And Mama Carol, back to her. Mama Carol, when I decided I was going to build our city, and some of you are sitting there right now, she came up to me and her husband was gone, or her son was gone, and she was on a fixed income, and she said, I want to give $1,000 and I'm willing to pay it a month at a time for $100. It was the hardest thing I could do to take the $1,000, but I knew what she wanted to do with her legacy. And the reason why we went back and got that picture and built on and around that today with Mama Carol is because I know her story. I know her life. And there's hardly a service that goes by that I don't miss seeing her sit there where Mama Pat's at right now. And you say, why do you like old people? They just get it. They work hard. They love me. They stand behind me. They pray for me. They can't get online, but they're awesome. And today you're sitting in a seat that Mama Carol sacrificially gave towards. And Pat gave towards. And then after I got our city, God said, I want you. Let's put up some timeline pictures. There was a page in there with timelines. This was 2016, right there. See that on this page? 2016, God began to say the next 4 years would be banner years. Then God gave us debt-free. The Royal Palm Beach campus is where the official announcement was made for the 2020 this week. We broadcast from there. Then in 2018, God gave us 17 acres in what is now an incredible healing center and a Holy Ghost hospital, Faith Church, Ferguson, Florissant. They're going nuts right now. Give it up for that campus. Then in 2019, the Holy Spirit hit our church so profoundly and led us into this season that we're in right now. Now, for us to go forward, we have to understand, I'm almost done. We have to understand to build these foundations, these bricks, we've got to do something. So in about, I think it's 8 weeks from now, if you tear this off, number one, I want you to look at the backside of the Jubilee. It says you can write down your prayer request. Spiritually, I want you to have a place to write your vision tonight. What are your spiritual goals? What are your financial goals? What do you want to make? What do you want to give? What are your physical goals? What do you want to weigh? What's your blood pressure need to be? Emotionally, how's that all going to work in? Because your emotions are so important. I want you to write that down, and I want you to keep it, because you're going to revisit this and look back, and you'll look back, and you won't recognize yourself a year from now because you won't be the same person. Because you're laying the building blocks and the foundation for your future. And then certainly on the inside of that, when you tear that envelope out, what I want you to do is I want you to take this home. I don't want you to use it tonight. I want you to take it home, and I want you to pray about it. But I would suggest to you at all campuses right now, here's what I would tell you. I would ask God to give you at a minimum $1,000 to give on our Jesus Jubilee offering that's coming up right near the Christmas season. Because what we don't want to do is at Christmas time give everybody else gifts except the person who deserves the gift, who is the gift, hence the word Christmas. So during that season, we're gonna create the biggest Jubilee offering that we've ever gotten by faith, and we're going to keep doing the stuff that we're doing. We're going to keep doing all the great things that we're doing, helping in Bahamas and helping in Haiti and building churches. And really what I don't really want to make it about is one specific thing. We're redoing this auditorium, and we're just buying $300,000 worth of better equipment here that matches the stuff in Florida. But that doesn't matter. It's not about the thing. It's about you. I want you to have a story. I want your kids to have some memorials so someday they remember when you, Mom, Dad, said, I'm going to actually lay a foundation, and for once as a family, we're going to say we have a faith goal to get that $1,000 by this date. Now, some of you could give 50. Some people could give 100. That's a different thing, but I'm just talking about you right now where you're at. And never say that, oh, man, I don't have the money. Listen, God has ways to get you the money. Plus, when you sacrifice, you can raise the money. Two scriptures before we go. Psalms 112, verse 9 says, they share freely and give generously to those in need. I ask you if you've got helped and you said yes. Thank God that Mama Carol gave the $1,000. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. We're remembering today a woman that's over on the other side, but we're standing on her foundation. We remember my dad, he's over on the other side, but we're talking right now about his sacrificial giving. Now, when I talk about the Jesus offering, I'm not talking about your tithe that we find in Malachi 3:8. It says, "Will a man rob God? Wherein have you robbed me in your tithes and offerings?" We're not talking about the tithe. That belongs to God. We're talking about you living from a spirit of generosity, saying, "Hey, I am going to give something sacrificial that I purposed in my own heart on this date that's coming up." 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart. To give not reluctantly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." God wants you to give because you want to give. When you give with a cheerful spirit, there's something that happens in your heart. Stand with me right quick. The Bible said it's more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give than to receive. And one of the reasons for that is because when you go ahead and obey God, what you're doing is you're allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in your life that gets greed, pushes it away from you. And it also says, hey, you know what? For the first time, money wasn't just about me. Money was about doing something sacrificial. I think they have a timeline video they can play just with old pictures of my dad on there and so on. And it kind of shows you, this is my dad in 1974. That's me standing next to him. And we lived in that trailer and motorhome all over the world. Revival outside, we're familiar with that. He would do those revivals all over America. There he was. That's when he said in 1982, we're going to do what we need to do, and we're going to build God a house that I'm standing on. There's the sign that he believed God for, 1984. And then I took it to the streets and started going into the ghetto, preaching like crazy. People wonder how I have the biggest African-American church. It was because I went down there and sowed into those areas. I started working on worship. Then God gave us supernaturally Earth City. It's a phenomenon. God moved there earlier this year. Then God gave us Sunset Hills, where he said he's going to meet with us once again. And you're there right now in a revival. And then Royal Palm comes into play in Florida. God gave us that, where I preached Tuesday night. And then I'm just here to tell you right now that our future is really, really bright. And you may really regret the fact that you weren't a part of that first movement. But raise your hand if you certainly don't want to miss this next movement. Come on. Now I want you to go ahead and bow your heads right now at all campuses. We're getting ready to play a testimony, a powerful testimony that you're really going to love, of life change, of a girl who her life was pretty messed up. Actually, it's this girl right here. Come here 1 second. You're going to see the testimony, and I wanted you to see that she's a real person, because you're getting ready to see her story at all campuses. Remember her from a while ago? I brought her up. I had never met her that I know of before, and right there she was. And there she is. When you see her story in a minute, you won't believe what she's been through. When you see her story in a minute, though, I want you to think about this. I never put a hard pressure on you guys, but I'm telling you, every once in a while, once a year, we don't need to make it about our flat screen. We don't need to make it about our car. We don't need to make it our vacation. Don't need to make it about our iPhone. Every once in a while, you need to do what my dad did, which was said, you know what, kids? We're going to not eat today if necessary, but we're going to build God a house. And thank God he did, because her life wouldn't have been changed. Millions of other people's lives wouldn't have been changed. Come on, give God praise today. Thank you. God bless you. Before we play that video, though, I seriously want you to take this home today, and I want you to pray for it. And then I want you to talk with your husband or wife and kids and get a family faith goal together. And coming up, in about 8 weeks from now, we're going to receive an offering, and I'm going to tell you how much it is. And we're going to do a lot more great things for Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed, every campus. Pray this with me. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I believe these are my banner years, and I will sow seeds in 2019 that I will harvest in 2020. I decree and declare that I am blessed, anointed, and I'm prioritizing Jesus. I'm a cheerful giver. My heart is in my giving. And I take this serious, God. I'm going to lay some building blocks for my family in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen." Come on, give the Lord a hand.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. social media. Just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations.